One of the Lansing area's most historic and vital housing communities continues to evolve and grow more than 40 years after it was conceived. East Lansing's Edgewood Village is the site of 135 apartments and townhouses for low and moderate income residents, the physically impaired, and the elderly. It includes common areas, a computer lab, amenities, and other services not often associated with housing geared to low and moderate income people. In the early 1970s, the community's founders were inspired by the idealism of the late Martin Luther King Jr., whose pivotal place in 1963's March on Washington we just marked. Two guests joined me yesterday to share some of the village's rich history and to tell us about Edgewood's new million-dollar network center, which opens tomorrow. They are Carl Gotting, one of the key figures in Edgewood's launch back in the early 1970s, also John Dooley, who's been at the heart of the community's ongoing mission from the beginning. John Dooley currently serves as the chairman of Edgewood Village's board. Carl Gotting, who is central to the community's founding, planning, and construction, told me his most vivid memory of the early days is a messy one.
The boots that I had to wear to slog around in the mud where Edgewood was being built. It was a muddy site, and when we got done with it, we had a lot of basements that were swimming pools. That finally got resolved, but it wasn't easy.
The design of Edgewood Village was groundbreaking from the beginning. Talk to us about that. How did it unfold that way?
The design was unique and, to my knowledge, has never been done again. It included low-rise buildings for families, a high-rise elderly building. Normally, in these types of projects, you either had an elderly project or you had a family project. We incorporated both. We incorporated a daycare center. That just didn't happen in these projects for the children that lived there and in the community. We incorporated an information referral service. It was Betty Dooley, John's wife, who ran that, and that assisted people in getting out into the community and finding the services they needed. It incorporated a unique facility as far as health needs are concerned. Bob Weil, who was the head of the art school at the time, put in a unique sculpture in front of the daycare center. These things never were put into this kind of facility to make it a livable community, and to my knowledge has never been done since, because you can't get the agencies, the governmental agencies, to provide the funding to do that.
John Dooley, you were involved at the beginning, but you're quite involved today as chairman of the board. What is the purpose of this new network center?
Well, we've been busy developing programs that assist the residents to be more employable and to give the children a more level playing field educationally. They didn't have computers. We put in a computer lab, and that's helped both residents and their kids. So we overcrowded the facilities, and we're told by the regional manager, property manager, was we had to build a new building because we were overusing the existing property. But more than that, it's a means for creating community. This whole area in which the building is built is now called the Commons. It has a community garden, it has a recreation area for kids, and it has this new building which is designed to be a place where we come together and become more than just residents in the village, but become a real community.
In your publicity, John, you're choosing to connect the opening of the Network Center to 1963's March on Washington and to a lot of the events that followed. Why?
Well, the reason for that is that this whole process that Carl started talking about grew out of the civil rights movement in East Lansing. In 1962, there were a group of people in Edgewood United Church and in the community generally who were concerned about the fact that people of color could not buy or rent property in East Lansing. And they wanted the city council to adopt an ordinance that would make it against the law to refuse to sell or rent to people of color. And so we got involved together in doing this, and out of this came the whole notion that we ought to be doing something positive. This protest against the fact that we couldn't do this became a basis for trying to do something positive. So they created the Greater Lansing Community Organization, which had 7 task forces, of which 4 made a tremendous impact in this community. One was on housing, Carl's already mentioned. The other was on peace and justice, which the Peace Education Center represents. Mm-hmm. And there are 2 others of great importance that still have an impact in this community today. That's why it's related to Dr. King. He came here at our invitation in 1965 to launch a project of 100 students and faculty spending 4 summers in Mississippi helping a college, a black college, retain its accreditation and bring its students on campus for summer mm-hmm. activities. So this grows out of the movement.
For your younger residents and families, is the idea that Edgewood is transitional housing or is it longer term?
Well, its hope is that people who leave there because they've gained employment skills that make them more employable and income more adequate for their living, we hope will buy homes and not just rent. 2 summers ago, when 6 families left, 5 of them purchased homes with help from MISHTA. Mm. So that's what our intent is. But most of these people are never going to do that. I mean, there are people living there on Social Security who are seniors, and the point there is to make their life as rich as possible and as enjoyable as possible because they're not going to leave there.
And there are lots of important services that Edgewood Village has come to offer over the years. You've touched on a few of them. We don't have time for all of them, but which ones, John, are you most proud of?
Well, I would say our concern about beginning with kids who are 0 to 6 years old and following them through high school on into college and into careers. We call it early childhood through college to careers. And we've developed a program which is a 7-year transitional program that helps students to make those transitions and have a much fuller life and be able to contribute to the society. One of the reasons for emphasizing Dr. King is that we want them, these children, to bear the memory and the legacy that he created throughout their lives. We want them not to forget the importance of the work of this man and his legacy so that they themselves will be instruments of change.
Carl, I was struck by how many well-known local people were involved in Edgewood Village's launch. Dave Hollister, you mentioned Lynn Jondahl, yourself, people who went on to bigger things locally, and how many really qualified, energetic people like John remain involved. What is it about Edgewood Village that attracts such devoted, energetic supporters?
I think it was the dream that we had in the beginning attracted people at that time, and because of people like John that have picked up the cudgel, if you will, and carried on, that have kept these people involved. Many of these projects, initially, the first 4 or 5 years, they're well accepted, and then they seem to fall apart. Edgewood has generated one leader after another to pick up the stick and continue to carry it. And it's unique. It's been there since day one, and I really can't put my finger on exactly what it was, but it's the dedication.
Carl Gotting and John Dooley, 2 key figures in the success of Eastwood Village in East Lansing. Eastwood Village opens its new network center tomorrow.